Amen. Thank you, Mrs. McGonigal, for that wonderful song tonight. Great is the faithfulness of our Lord. We are thankful that He is faithful and He does not change. We're going to take our scriptures tonight, if you would. We're going to turn to the Old Testament tonight, to the book of Psalms. And we're going to have just a brief challenge before we go to prayer tonight. Psalm chapter number 34, if you would, tonight in your Bible. Psalm chapter number 34. God's people are not immune to the difficulties that come out there in our lives and all that's going on out there in the world. And right now we see this coronavirus going around and people are talking about it. And you try to even go shopping right now and things are flying off the shelves because people are in panic mode and they're fearful. And they're fearful of the future. They don't know what the future holds. And even we as God's people can fall into that trap of being fearful. And here is a man here, I'm thankful for David in the Psalms, because he penned out his emotions and what was going on in his heart and in his life. And this is a companion psalm here, Psalm chapter 34 with Psalm chapter 56. And we remember Psalm chapter 56. There's a great verse in there. I share it with my children often. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And really, what cancels out fear is faith, is faith. And we have to learn as God's people even to put our trust in the Lord. Satan wants us to be fearful. He wants people to run for their lives and be emotionally concerned and unstable. But praise God, we don't have to fear. We can put our trust in the Lord. And this passage in front of us is one of my favorite psalms, and I'm looking forward to sharing it together and looking in it tonight. But it deals a lot with fear and with putting our trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've had some fearful situations in my life along the way. Maybe it was a medical thing that came up in your life and you didn't understand what was going on. And you didn't know the future, if you were going to make it or if you were not going to make it. Maybe it was something as when you were younger, you were afraid of the dark. And children are afraid of the dark. Even last night, my daughter came running into the room about 4 a.m. and she was scared of something. So she ended up spending the rest of the night there in our room. But even as God's children, though, we cope with fear. And but our faith can cancel out our fear tonight. I remember out in Montana when I was at Castle Rock Baptist Camp, and I got the scare of my life. I hiked out to the edge of the camp. My father-in-law knows the story. Because I forgot my pillow in the trailer that we were staying, and I had moved into a cabin. So after dark and after chapel, I had to go out to the edge of the camp, outside of the lights, and get my pillow out of this camper. And I got to the door of the camper, reached for the door of the camper, and all of a sudden, right next to me, there was a big snort of an animal. Just, it was literally right there. And to this day, I don't know what it was. It turned and ran down the hill. I think it was a moose, because that's probably the only thing that would make that kind of noise and then run away. But I've always been then scared of the dark. It just, it happens. I don't like it. But you know, really, we can put our trust in the Lord. And for whatever it is, the difficulties that come. So here David is describing a difficult time in his life. And this happens when he is running for his life from King Saul. He's being chased by Saul. And he is in difficulty and distress. He goes down to the land of the Philistines. He even has to change his behavior. That's around with Psalm 56 there. And he is running in fear. But yet he shares his victory and his dependence upon the Lord. So the Lord wants to give His people great deliverance tonight. And so I would call this tonight, if I was going to give it a title, a praise for deliverance. Praise for deliverance. And we don't have to be afraid about the future, but God wants to give His people great deliverance in our life. And note, if you would, in the text, how many times David mentions the word deliverance. Deliverance. To be delivered out of our circumstances, to be delivered even from our fears. Look at verse number 4, one of the key verses. He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So we don't have to be fearful tonight because we can be delivered from that. Whatever those fears are that you're afraid of, you can take those to the Lord. You can seek the Lord on those, and God can deliver you from them. You don't have to fear anymore. I praise God for that. There can be great deliverance. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. There you have for deliverance again, being saved out of our troubles. We do have fears. We do have troubles. We have difficulties. Some of the God's people here in this assembly have gone through great troubles, but yet the Lord saved them out of them. You know, we start salvation, the best salvation is salvation from our sins, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior tonight. That's the greatest deliverance that you could ever have. But then once you're saved, just because you're God's child doesn't mean you're not going to have fear and you're not going to have troubles and afflictions that come into your life. But when they do come, we can seek the Lord. He is present there and He can deliver us. Look, if you would, down at verse number 7. And this is a favorite verse of many. I know you may know it tonight. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. And what? Delivereth them. You're catching the theme of the psalm. David here is praising the Lord for His great deliverance. I'm thankful that for those of us that fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around us. There is such a thing, Scripture teaches, as guardian angels. The angels are sent forth to be ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation, according to the book of Hebrews. So we have a guardian angel tonight. And the angel of the Lord does encamp around us. And in the Old Testament sense, the angel of the Lord, when He was appeared in the Old Testament, does anybody know what that was called? Anybody? Brother McGonnell probably knows. It's a Christophany, a Christophany. And when Christ appeared in the Old Testament sense, He was called the angel of the Lord. And so I look at this verse here, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him. Who is that? I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't He present with us at all times? And we can say, Jesus Christ is with us. Therefore, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I don't have to be afraid because I have a wonderful Savior and He's with me. There's great deliverance. If you would look down in the last part, I have to flip the page here on mine, but look at verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. So here we have troubles, afflictions, fears, but yet the Lord brings great deliverance. Then look at verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There we have afflictions added to it. But the Lord, what? Delivereth him out of them all. And then look, if you would, at verse number 22. The Lord redeemeth. So we catch the theme of the psalm. It's deliverance. It's salvation out of. It's redemption out of our fears, our troubles, our afflictions that come. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're exempt from going through some of the difficulties that the children of the world go through, the lost. We're going to go through them too. But we have someone we can turn to. We have someone we can trust in tonight and someone who is present with us. So I'm thankful for David here penning this. Let's go back to the first part of the psalm here. And he begins here by worshiping and praising the Lord. We'll try to divide the psalm up just into five parts here tonight. The first one is worship and praise. He begins his psalm of deliverance by worshiping and blessing the Lord. And he says this, I will bless the Lord at how many times? All times. Now, something that really jumped out at me about this psalm, and I'd like you to mark it maybe in your Bible, if you mark it in your Bible. But note how many times the word for all is used. And just hold on, it thrills my soul to think about. But the word all, he says in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at, he says, all times. Now, look if you would at verse number 1 again. He talks about continually. So all times, and then there should be continual praise. So it's an ongoing, all-the-time thing, the Christian life, and being delivered and having victory. But look, if you would, at verse number 4. He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from how many of my fears? All. Isn't that a blessing? So we can bless the Lord at all times. The Lord can deliver us from all of our fears. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some of his troubles. What's the Scripture say? All. Isn't that a blessing tonight? I get thrilled when I see this. Look at verse number 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. No want. Do you see the sufficiency of our God? We can bless Him at all times, and He'll deliver us from all of our fears, and there could be no want tonight. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want. Doesn't that remind you of Psalm 23 and the provision of our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is our sufficient God for whatever we're going through. And I'm thankful that when God does a deliverance, it's not a halfway deliverance. He delivers us all the way. When God provides, it's not just a menial provision, just a little thing. He gives abundantly. Pressed down and shaking over, the Bible says, shall men give into your bosom. God gives in abundance. And I'm thankful. That's because our God is an abundant God. And it says not want there in verse number 10. Look at verse number 17 and you'll see it again. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Again, verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And verse number 20. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, just as a side thought here, who is that speaking of? Jesus Christ. You got it. This is a fulfilled prophecy here. That on the cross, none of Jesus' bones were broken. You see the deliverance of our God? Even down to the fact that he would protect the Lord Jesus Christ's bones from being broken. Not a one of them was broken. So when God delivers, it's always. He does all. And I'm just so thankful for that tonight. Look at verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and how many of them? None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I thrill at the deliverance of our God because it's all. And all those that put their trust in him, none of them are going to be desolate tonight. When you read those, it takes you back to verse number 1, and you say with David, I'll bless the Lord at all times. I want to bless the Lord. And note these expressions of praise and worship. The first would be, I will bless the Lord. And then he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. As a Christian, what should be in my mouth? Belly aching, griping, complaining, arguing? No, it should be the praise of my God. A Christian should be known by who he is praising. And if we see God moving and working in our life and giving us great deliverance, isn't it going to cause us to desire to praise him? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There should not be a time when my praise life stops. Verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So I'm not going to boast in myself. I didn't deliver myself from my fears. Left to myself, I'm stuck in my trouble. I am fearful and I'm afraid and I'm left in my afflictions. But I'll make my boast in the Lord because he's the one that delivers me. Make my boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Other people are going to hear about it. Tell other people about it. So I call this part worship and praise, but it's personal. He is personally praising the Lord. But you ever got an answer to prayer or a blessing from the Word of God personally? What do you want to do about it? Praise the Lord. Good. And then what's the next thing you want to do about it? Hey, I got to call you. I got to tell you something the Lord did. And this is what David does. He first praises the Lord personally, but then he's got to take it to somebody else. And it's got to be public. Look at verse number 3. And he brings someone else in on this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify, to make great, to make big. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So the worship overflows to where you have to get someone else and say, come praise the Lord with me. And I'm thankful for that. We should have that type of praise where we magnify the Lord and we want to exalt his name. We looked at the name of our God two Sunday nights ago. And our God's name is great. But we want to exalt the name of our God because he is worthy. And he brings deliverance tonight. And we do this together. So there is a public invitation to other people. Have you ever given an invitation to somebody to praise the Lord with you? David did. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That'd be a wonderful thing to do sometime. Would you get together and pray with me? And let's just thank the Lord for this situation. That's public worship. Worship and praise. And look at verse number 4 if you would. This is the second section we could divide it into. We could talk then about faith and prayer. Faith and prayer. And do we know by experience the Lord's deliverance by putting our trust in the Lord and calling upon his name? We know that salvation starts and begins and we're saved at a point in time when we call upon the name of the Lord. In repentance and faith, and believe upon him for our soul's salvation. We're not saved because we go to church. We're not saved because we're baptized. We're not saved because we keep the Ten Commandments. But we're saved by receiving the gift of everlasting life, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing upon his name, calling upon his name. And that's the first step towards experiencing the deliverance of God. We're saved from the penalty of our sin. And then we have the Holy Spirit within us. We're regenerated. We're a new person in Christ. Then God is with us, and we have a Father we can call upon, and he can bring great deliverance in our life. If you've never believed on Jesus Christ tonight and been saved, tonight's the night to do that, and to call upon his name for salvation. And I would invite you to do that. Scripture invites you to do that, to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But look at verse number 4. We see the great faith and prayer of David. Even as he's running in the wilderness from his enemy Saul, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. When I am afraid, what should I do? Continue to run for my life? Go find other people who can help me? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Can the Lord deliver me from my fears? Is He a strong enough God that He's able to do that? Absolutely. We always tell my children when they're afraid, who's always with us? God's always with us. Jesus is always here. He's with us. But we don't have to be afraid. Sometimes we forget that when we're in the midst of our circumstance and we're worried about all the sickness around us. I'm not saying we should be foolish, but when we have the fears, we can turn them over to the Lord and put our trust in Him. And David says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 5, he says, they looked unto Him and were lightened. You know, we need to have our faces lightened sometimes. Sometimes they're heavy, full of darkness, and we need to be able to look to the Lord and find hope and help in our situation. But that only happens as we look up, and we don't keep looking on the problems around us. He says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I love verse 6. This poor man cried. Great perspective of himself. He could do nothing to help himself. I'm just a poor man. But this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. What an answer to prayer. The Lord hears and saved him out of all of his troubles. We could be in trouble tonight, and I don't know what your trouble is. Perhaps you're in some serious trouble tonight. But let me point you to some help. Let Scripture point you to some help. You can seek the Lord. Come humbly as just a poor man and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm in trouble tonight. Whatever it is, maybe it's relationship trouble. Maybe it's financial trouble. Maybe it's physical trouble. Whatever it is, you can take those troubles to the Lord as a poor person, humbly before Him, and He can bring great deliverance in your life and saved him out of all of his troubles. It doesn't mean that God's going to end the trial immediately in our life, because maybe God is teaching us through the trial. So this is not just a blanket promise that as soon as I pray, everything's going to go away and I'm going to live happily ever after. Sometimes it's God's will that we suffer as a Christian. It was God's will that Jesus Christ suffer on the cross. But yet the glory that was revealed in Him afterwards and the glory that can be revealed in us if we suffer according to the will of God and commit our souls unto Him as unto a faithful Creator and do so to bring glory to the name of our God. Verse number 7 is a great promise in prayer. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Just a thought tonight. Do we really believe that? That right now, the angels of the Lord are encamping around us. You remember what was it Elijah had to say to his servant? He had open his eyes. And he looked out into the, he said, they that be with us are more than be with them. He had a proper perspective. And God opened his eyes and he looked out there and he saw the hillside full of the chariots of the Lord. And if we could just see for a moment, have our eyes open spiritually and see the angels of the Lord around us, it would change our perspective. I believe fear would be gone. But we have to look with the eye of faith, don't we, tonight? Look with the eye of faith. Really believe that the Lord does encamp around us and He does deliver us. Verse 8 is a great invitation to faith and prayer in the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is also can be used as the word for happy. Blessed and happy. And what an invitation. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? How many people have taste buds? I don't know of any person that does not. Okay? This is the invitation. Any person can taste and see that the Lord is good. Any person. It's available to all. Salvation is available to all. Praise God. Christ tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter number 2. But we have the privilege to taste that the Lord is gracious. You know, we were out and visited a place in Lancaster, and they have on the back of their cheese shop, they have this verse, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I appreciate the cheese is good. But on a spiritual plane, we can taste and see that God is good. And Peter said in the New Testament, and this I believe is one of the Apostle Peter's favorite psalms because he quotes it in the New Testament. But he said that he talked about the believers, how they had, if ye had tasted that the Lord was gracious, and they had believed upon Christ. I believe he was referring right back here to this psalm in that book of Peter. Let's continue on here. Not only do we see the faith and prayer, the worship and praise, but here we'll conclude rather quickly here, fearing the Lord. The next section here is on fearing the Lord. He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. And this is to have a proper reverence and respect for our God. And we know that to fear the Lord is going to cause us to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We know that Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. And so it's important that we have a proper reverence of our God and the deliverance He wants to bring in our lives. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. A mark of a saint should be that they reverence and respect the Lord. And a saint is a holy one. A saint is one who has believed on Jesus Christ for his soul's salvation and had his life changed. For there is no want to them that fear him. Sounds like to me the Lord provides the wants and the needs, really. Let's call it the needs of his people. And he does even give us some wants along the way. He provides over and abundant. Look at verse 10. There's a distinction that God makes between his saints and his natural creation. In verse 10, and he makes a comparison here. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So even God's creatures, they go without. They do without meals. But God will take care of his saints and those that seek the Lord. So do I seek the Lord tonight? Do I have the proper reverence and fear of my God? Look, if you would, at verse 11. And again, we see this fearing the Lord. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And then we divide here another section here. I call this a formula for a God-blessed life. A formula for a God-blessed life. Don't we want a blessed life from the Lord? I would. And now this is the section of Scripture that Peter quotes in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. But here he says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Now, which one of us would not like to see that about our life? You know, I would like to love many days and I would like to see good. I desire life. Well, if you would like that, then we got to pay attention to what he asks us to do in Scripture. He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. We have to watch the words of our mouth. We have to watch the sin in our life. Verse number 14, he says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What a great formula. Depart from evil and do good. So you have the negative. We depart from evil. We turn from it. And then we obey the Lord and we do good. And what will that do? That brings life and blessings and that we might see good. It doesn't mean that we're always going to live a long life. We've seen people that are righteous. They go home to be with the Lord because the Lord delights in taking his children home. But it is a promise from the Lord that he will bless those who live a righteous life. And Peter brings that out again. You can mark the cross-reference down in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And that's why I say that Peter must have really liked this psalm, because the Lord brought it to mind. He must have read it before and had it on his heart. If you would, look at the next section here. And I call this the character of the delivered. The character of the delivered. God doesn't just deliver any person. There's a certain character that goes along with it. And it's important that we check up on our character tonight. In verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the who? The righteous. The righteous. Very good. And his ears are open unto their cry. I'm thankful for the eyes of the Lord and these anthropomorphisms of our God. The eyes of the Lord, he's watching us. He's looking at us. And then it says his ears are open, so he's listening. He's looking and is listening to those who are righteous, and he can hear their cry. I'm thankful God hears. And then verse 16 is the opposite. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So note the character difference there. So this is the wicked person, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Far better it is to be righteous so that the Lord's face might shine upon us and we wouldn't have the Lord's face against us. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? But if the Lord be against us, I believe the opposite would be true. Who could be for us? We're going to be in trouble. So it behooves us tonight to check up on our character tonight. We want the face of the Lord's blessing upon us. We want him to hear our cries. I like verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Again, notice their character. The righteous cry. Refers right back to verse number 15. Verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When I come to the Lord in repentance and humility and contrition for my sin being broken, the Lord is nigh. The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Thou wilt not despise, O God, it says. And I'm thankful that God is nigh that type of person. He's nigh the humble. He's nigh the repentant person. But the proud he knoweth afar off. So it's only by the grace of God, the humility, that we receive the grace of God. And here this humble person, the Lord is nigh unto them. He hears the cries of the broken in heart. And save us such as be of a contrite heart. If we have a proud heart, we're not going to call upon the Lord, and we can't expect the Lord to deliver us tonight. Verse number 19 says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, maybe that's you feel like that's your life verse tonight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. If you feel that way, take comfort in the second part of the verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And the ultimate deliverance might not be in this life. Okay? For the righteous hath hope in his death. Bob Carmichael went through a lot of afflictions in his lifetime. And it didn't seem that the Lord would deliver him out of the kidney disease and every other disease that he had. But he did deliver him. He's experiencing right now the deliverance from the bondage of corruption, and he's into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So for the believer, it is true. You might not get delivered in this life. You might be, but ultimately you will have deliverance, and you'll be forever with the Lord, free from the bondage of this corruption. Delivered him out of them all. And verse 20 refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The great preservation that our God can give us. God can protect when you go through a car accident. You know, he protected Nadine. And I thank God for that. He keepeth. Give the praise to God because of he's the one that preserves us. We don't keep our bones from being broken. Many times I'm amazed at some of the things I've done and walked away and not had major physical harm. And I say, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve that. You protected me. You were merciful to me. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked. See the character here? Different than the righteous. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. So the psalm ends here in verse 21 with desolation. And verse 22, desolation. So those that are wicked and hate the righteous, their life is going to end up desolate. That's no hope. Without the blessing of God, inhabiting like a dry and parched place, desolation. I don't like that picture for my life. I don't want desolation. I'd much rather have no desolation. So look at the last verse and let this be a blessing as we close tonight. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And that is, he redeems us out of our troubles. He redeems us out of our afflictions. He redeems us out of our fears. And ultimately, one day, he's going to redeem us even out of this life. And we'll be received into glory. And at God's right hand, it says there are pleasures forevermore. So we can be assured tonight that we'll have deliverance finally as God's people. It may not come now. The sickness may come. But ultimately, we have great deliverance. So praise God for that. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. And remember this phrase, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So how many people that put their trust in the Lord are going to be desolate? None. None. What's the key to victory over fear, affliction, trouble, any type of sorrow we go through, difficulties in this life? It's putting our trust in the Lord. And oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. How do you have victory over faith? Or victory over fear? Faith. Put your trust in the Lord tonight. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The wicked will be desolate. They'll be brought into destruction even. But the righteous, praise God, they will never be desolate. Those that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. Let's close in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we taste and see that you are good. And we are thankful that you are a God who is able to deliver. And you made salvation available to each and every person who has ever lived. And for every person in this building tonight, you have made salvation available. Jesus Christ paid for the sins of every person in this room upon the cross. And all we must do is repent and believe upon him. We can have the gift of everlasting life. And tonight I pray if there's anyone here, they've never come to Jesus Christ and they've never repented of their sin. They've never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They've never called upon his name to save them. I pray that tonight would be the night that they would come to Jesus Christ and ask him to be their Savior, and their life would be changed. And for those of us as believers, every person in this room struggles with fears, afflictions, troubles, the difficulties of this life. Help us to remember that we can call upon you as long as we are living a righteous life. We can have your promise that you hear us, and you will bring great deliverance. Thank you for the great hope that we have, that there will be ultimate deliverance from all the difficulties that are in this life. We thank you for the time to study your word tonight. We pray that you would work in each person's heart. And as we go to prayer, help us to remember that you do hear and answer when we call upon you. And you'll deliver us out of all of our troubles. And help us to come and cast our burdens now upon you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.